Hello, and welcome to the third episode of the Newark City Schools podcast. My name is Seth Roy, and I'm the Community Outreach Coordinator for Newark City Schools. As always, you can find the show by searching Newark City Schools on SoundCloud, iTunes, or by visiting our website at www.newyorkcityschools.org. I'm excited for this week's show as we're celebrating student and teacher success. I'll be starting off the show speaking with Savannah Miller, an 8th grade student at Wilson Middle School, who placed second at the Licking County Library's Teen Poetry Contest for 7th and 8th graders. Savannah read her poem at a special event at the library, and will read it again on this show. Also, Newark High School student Cheyenne Decker placed third in the high school portion of the contest. Congratulations to both students. We're going to end the show with interviews from our three Leaders for Learning Award recipients. Every year, the Licking County Foundation recognizes teachers countywide as leaders in the classroom. In Newark, one teacher from each of the high school, middle school, and elementary school levels is chosen for the award. The teachers receive a red glass apple and the chance to apply for up to $500 in grants every year to use for their classrooms. This year, Newark High School teacher Brian Stepanek, Liberty Middle School teacher Kathy Allen, and Legend Elementary teacher Melissa Broshak received the award. Now we'll listen in to Savannah Miller's poetry reading. Okay, Savannah, if you could introduce yourself and say what grade and what school you go to.
I am an 8th grader at Wilson Middle School, and my name is Savannah Miller.
And I'm talking with Savannah because she placed in second place for a Newark Library poetry contest for 7th and 8th graders. Can you talk about the assignment that you did? You were assigned to write a poem in class.
Well, we were doing poetry anthologies, and one of the poems we had to write was a free verse, so I decided to write a book or write a poem about one of the books that I've read that I really enjoyed and turn it into a free verse poem.
Okay. What book is it about?
The book was called Divergent.
Okay.
And it's been one of my favorite books that I've read, and I'm starting to end the sequel with the last book. So I wrote a poem about it because it was a really good book.
Cool. And then when, so you turned in the poem, and then your teacher picked a few of the poems to enter into the contest. How did it make you feel when your poem was one of the poems that was chosen for that?
I was excited that she chose my poem as one of the poems to be sent in, but at the same time I was worried because I like to win, I don't like to lose. So I was kind of nervous at the same time, maybe it wouldn't get chosen, but then I was excited because it was still entered in.
Mm-hmm. When it got entered in and then you found out that you were placed in the contest and then you went there, were you nervous at all to read your poem in front of other people?
I did get a little nervous, and I messed up a few times with reading it, but after I finished it, I was glad that I read it.
Good. And then after finding out you placed and got second place, you know, you said you like to win, you don't like to lose, but how did it make you feel that you got not only recognized and entered into it, but then that you actually were invited there and that you were recognized as one of the best poems that they got?
I felt proud because I knew that I tried my hardest and I work good, and I think I felt like I deserved it and that it was a good accomplishment for me and helped, and it boosted my confidence in writing more.
Cool. All right, well, if you would please read your poem.
All right. The book. This book. It reminds me of a fairy tale, elegant and calm, like a get-well letter in the mail. I've reluctantly read it multiple times. It gets better every time. This book, it's like a cardboard box, boring on the outside, yet filled with so much inside.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Savannah, for reading your poem on the podcast. Before we get to the Leaders for Learning interviews, I wanted to share a couple of quick news items. The school calendar for the 2014-15 school year was approved by the Board of Education at its regular April meeting. It is now available on the district website. The first day of school will be August 20th and the last day will be May 28th. Spring break will be the week of March 30th. Newark City Schools building staffs raised more than $9,000 for Big Brothers Big Sisters for the recent Bowl for Kids event. Carson Elementary led all schools countywide with $3,300 raised. Finally, if you have a son or daughter interested in a summer sport camp, check out the district website, www.newarkcityschools.org, or athletic website at nhswildcats.com for information on various summer camps for boys and girls basketball, wrestling, football, and more as they are announced. Next, we'll hear from Brian Stepanik, Kathy Allen, and Melissa Broshak.
I'm Brian Stepanik. I teach 10th grade enriched English at Newark High School, as well as speech and debate.
All right. How long have you been teaching at Newark High School?
I have been here. This is my fourth year. Next year will be my fifth.
Okay. And how did you find Newark? How did you come here?
I actually met a representative of the district at a job fair when I was studying at the University of Akron in Northeast Ohio. So I remember waiting in a line for an hour and a half just to speak with her. So,
yeah. What attracted you to Newark?
She gave me an informational pamphlet, which was actually very revealing, and it painted an accurate picture of the school district, and it was a nice area of Ohio. I kind of wanted to move away. The school looked like somewhere where I could hopefully make positive changes, so I was in.
Thinking back further to even when you were starting college, what made you want to become a teacher?
Well, I vacillated. I wanted to be a teacher when I was a kid. I used to play school with my brother all the time. And then as I got older, I moved away from education. I thought more of psychology, something studying humans, human behavior. And then I reverted back to teaching later on. And I can't tell you really what changed, except I did a few intro psych classes and I was okay, but I didn't feel moved by anything really.
So we're talking with you because you were the high school recipient for this year's Leaders for Learning Award through the Licking County Foundation. When the Leaders for Learning Award is presented, you didn't know that you were receiving it.
No, right.
So when it's presented, you're just in the middle of class, and in walks your assistant principals and your principal and your superintendent and people you might not know from the Licking County Foundation. What were you thinking when all these people were walking into your classroom?
Well, they had smiles on their faces, so I knew it wasn't something bad. But at the same time, if you have your superiors, your immediate superiors, and then significantly higher superiors coming into your classroom when you're just doing a normal day, well, it was certainly unnerving.
Mm-hmm. So when they said that this was the award you're receiving, were you familiar with Leaders for Learning Award?
I was. I remember teachers in the past getting it, and all of them I thought worthy, so I was, of course, incredibly honored and touched that I would be considered.
When the teachers are nominated, I think they're nominated at the building level and then at the district level. We send it into the Licking County Foundation, and one of the comments was that you create a student-centered classroom where students have ample opportunity to be involved during lessons. What does that look like in practice?
I just think it's very interactive. I don't like to stand and deliver. That's boring to me. That's boring to the students. So usually it's a conversation going on, a continuing conversation, or a conversation that stops and starts and moves in different directions. But we're actively interacting with one another throughout the whole period.
And how has one of the big movements district-wide, and especially at the high school, has been technology? And we added Bring Your Own Device school-wide this year, and of course last year you were one of the pilot teachers who was piloting the Bring Your Own Device program. How has that either changed or added to your teaching, especially the student-centered and student involvement during class?
It's funny, when I came to this district we were kind of tech poor, and now we seem like tech rich, not even just with our own resources, but now that the kids have their own devices that they can access the internet through. I mean, even just, I remember when I came, internet access was such a problem. You know, getting a kid online was so difficult. We needed access points in the room, and we'd always be pulling carts around. And now, if they just need internet access, they have it already, most all of them. And so getting that just initial entry point into the online world is no problem.
Going back to the nomination, it also mentions that you bring your global travels into the classroom.
I started traveling, I think my first trip outside of the U.S. was a while ago. I was a teenager, and it was in 2000. I just did a tour of Western Europe. And then after that, it kind of opened up. I did China, Japan, Thailand, Indonesia, Singapore. I've been to Egypt, Turkey, Greece. I kind of travel all over. How does that impact me? Well, it is a good placement for me teaching the class I teach. 10th grade enriched English is also world literature. So I like to think I have a more global perspective or worldview than perhaps I would otherwise if I didn't do all the traveling.
That was all I had. Do you have anything else you'd like to add about the award or about teaching?
No, it's very nice. I love having it on my desk. I'm honored to receive, and the kids were excited. It was cute. I guess the district tweeted out the award was given to me, and several of my students retweeted it, which was really sweet and touching. So, yeah, I'm honored.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kathy Allen. I teach 8th grade American history at Liberty Middle School. This is my 22nd year in New York City schools, and proud to be here.
22 years in Newark. So where were you before you came to Liberty?
I started out at Roosevelt in 1993, was there for 5 years, and then we had some reorganization in the district, and I moved to Wilson for 10 years until 2007, at which time I had finished my gifted endorsement, and I taught gifted elementary, 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade at Hillview, Miller, Cherry Valley, and Ben Franklin for 2 years. And then, unfortunately, the gifted program kind of dissolved in Newark, and had the opportunity to interview for a position in 8th grade history here at Liberty, and I was offered the job, and here I am.
What made you want to be a teacher in the first place? What keeps you teaching?
From an early age, I had a 5th grade teacher who was really challenging. He pushed me to do the best that I could all the time. Didn't settle for what he knew was not my best. And that kind of inspired me to always do my best and to want to help others do their best. I also read a book when I was in 8th grade by Tori Hayden called One Child. It's about a special education teacher who made a difference in one child's life. And that's kind of been my mantra, to at least make a difference in one child's life every year. And I hope that I touch more than that every year, but I've always wanted to work with kids. From an early age, I babysat, played school, all that kind of stuff. But I knew going in that that's what I wanted to do as I was going into high school, and I had to make some tough decisions. You can go back and talk to any of my students. I've always been a supporter of vocational education. That's what I did. I knew I was going to college, but I had to have a way to pay for college. So I went and got some skills, and I worked as a secretary for 4 years to pay my way through college.
So, where'd you go to college?
I went to the Ohio State University.
Obviously, the reason talking with you is because you were a 2014 Leaders for Learning Award recipient through the Licking County Foundation. The award is always a surprise to the teachers who receive it. So what were you thinking when you were teaching and in walks your principal, your superintendent, and a few people that you don't know from the Licking County Foundation?
I was befuddled, to say the least. I didn't know exactly what was going on. First, I thought maybe they were coming through to, you know, because Mr. Ute came in first, and I thought, was he coming in to do a walkthrough? And he's like, oh, come on up here. I'm like, what is going on? And then I see Mr. Myers and Ms. Henry walk in, and like you said, Megan Evans, who was a former student, so that was quite a surprise to see her coming in my room. And then in walks Ms. Horgan and Ms. Quackenbush. I'm like, what is going on? I really had no clue. It was definitely a surprise.
And when obviously I assume you're familiar with the award, it's been around for a long time, when you found out what they were here for and that you had been chosen to receive this award, how did that make you feel?
Very honored, humbled. I always try and do the best that I can as a teacher. It's nice to know that the effort and the hard work that I put in over the years was recognized. I don't do this job for the recognition, but it was really nice to be recognized, and I've seen a lot of people out in the community this past week, and they've congratulated me, and many have said it was deserving, and you know, that's nice to hear that, but it's honestly not why I do it. It's not for the awards and the accolades. It's just to make a difference in the lives of my students.
In the nomination for you for the award, administrators wrote that one of the reasons you received it was how you use data to help shape your teaching. I guess, what ways do you use data? What are you looking at when you're bringing it into the classroom?
Well, at the beginning of the year, when we have to put all of our data together, we look at previous OAA scores. We look at student reading fluency, how they do with their oral reading. And in history, you're like, well, what does all that have to do with, because I'm not a tested subject. But there is so much language arts, and even the math is in history. It's really a subject that is cross-curricular. I look at that data so that if I have students who aren't performing at grade level, I can sometimes group them together with students who are at or above grade level to maybe work on some of their skills. Kids who are gifted or high-achieving students, try and do some differentiated lessons to help them grow further than what they would normally, what their classmates would, because they need to keep getting pushed. They're already above the bar, and we need to keep pushing them. That's one of the reasons I went back and got my gifted endorsement back in 2007. Those kids get left behind all the time. And it's sad because there's so much ability there that we don't always get to push and get them to bring the full potential out.
And then another one of your roles here at Liberty is to help organize the Washington, D.C. trip. Of course, that was just last month this year, but what do you enjoy about doing that?
My second career choice was accounting, so that analytical aspect. I'm an organizer. Sometimes my desk doesn't look like it, but it's organized chaos at times. But I love organizing things and putting all the pieces together. So the D.C. trip, there's lots of pieces that I have to get in, whether it's all the required forms that have to be turned in or making sure that the kids have turned in all their payments and coordinating with the tour company to make sure we have, we're all on the same page. I just like getting all the ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that.
Once you're in D.C., what's your favorite part of the trip?
There's so much. Arlington Cemetery is always a favorite. It's just a place to just show respect and to really honor those that have given and sacrificed for our freedoms. The FDR Memorial, which unfortunately we were not able to see this year, is one of my favorite memorials. It has some really inspirational quotes there. Just to see everything that FDR did, even though it's not content that I teach, I know it, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to go and look at all that. The kids always enjoy seeing the Vietnam Memorial. It's always nice to see how they react to it because they don't expect it to be what it is. They don't realize how moving it is to see this wall and to walk by all these names and realize how momentous that was. The Capitol is always unique. I love the architecture of D.C. just in general. It's really nice to see all that, and I try and point that out to the kids as we're visiting the different sites that we go to, whether it's, you know, going to the White House or the Capitol. When we have a chance, I like to take the kids over to the Awakening. It's an outdoor statue where it's coming up through, you know, from the ground, this arm, this hand, an elbow, a foot. Oh. The kids get to climb on it. It's over at the harbor now, so it's in a new area, so we don't always make it over there, but that's always a fun visit for the kids because they get to be a little more interactive. There's just so much in D.C. that is of historic value that I just appreciate it and find something new every time we go.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time, and congratulations on the award.
Thank you.
I'm Melissa Broshak. I teach second grade at Legend Elementary.
And how long have you been with Newark City Schools?
This is my 16th year.
16th year. Where did you teach before Legend?
I had 11-year maternity leave.
Oh.
Quite a while. And then before that, I taught in Worthington for 4 years. And before that, I taught at a private school, Northland Academy, which is no longer in existence.
Okay.
They've closed.
And then so with Newark, you've just been here at Legend?
Yes. And at North.
And at North.
Before,
and then moved to Legend. Cool. What made you want to become a teacher, and then what keeps you going in the profession?
Okay. My sister was a teacher, and so I spent a lot of time in her classroom. I always loved kids. I always loved thinking of creative things to do with children, and I would come in and do activities in my sister's classroom. And I think that kind of that exposure just gave me the desire to go into education. What keeps me going? I really think these lunch bunch things that I do, I have a goal every month. I have projects going every month that intertwine with our curriculum. And so we know by the end of the month that we have to be finished and be ready for the parents. So it keeps me going because I know I have that goal each time.
Now the lunch bunches, which actually is something that brought me to your classroom for the first time when I was a reporter, those you invite parents in and it's a student project, or what is a lunch bunch?
It started, I think I started at my second year that I was teaching in Newark. It was a way to get parents to come in just to read with their children. That's how it started. And the parents would come in and they would read, the children would read whatever they wrote that month to their parents. But of course it has snowballed and it has grown into, it's not just reading, it's also projects, it's displays in the hall. And usually we perform something for the parents. Either it's a song, it's a poem, it's a reader's theater. And this month we're going to do a puppet show. So it's always something that we perform for them as well. But it's turned into a really great social thing for the parents because they not only get to hear their children read and come to their classroom and see where they're learning, but they also get to interact with each other. And parents have become friends through this, and it's really been a good tool for many reasons.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason why I'm talking with you is because you were the elementary recipient of the Leaders for Learning Award. And, of course, it's a surprise award, and when you receive it, building and district administrators and a couple representatives from the Licking County Foundation just walk into your room one day, and you were reading to your students when they walked in. What was going through your mind when you saw this group of people walk into your room?
First, I was worried because I saw Mr. Ute come in with Mrs. Cooper, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's he doing here? And I didn't know if they were coming to observe me. Mrs. Cooper didn't really give me any clues. So then I got really worried when I saw you. And I thought, I don't know why he's here. And I was shocked. I just couldn't believe it. I guess because as a teacher, I never really feel like I'm doing enough. Because as a teacher, there's always more to do. There's always, you know, job is never done. And maybe that's another thing that keeps me going because I always feel like there's more to do. And so it was such an honor. And it was so cool to get it in front of the kids because they were really excited.
But, yeah, you know, they had a pretty good reaction to it.
They were excited. Yes.
So I assume you were familiar with the award before it. You'd heard of it, maybe.
A little bit. I after they talked about it, then I remembered another one of our teachers in our school, Sally Mummy, had gotten, I think it was back at North, it was quite a few years ago, and I didn't see it presented to her, but I remembered hearing about it. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I really didn't know much about it.
When you found out what it was and that through the nomination process, I know you had some comments from a former student. Just the beginning of the comment was she was the perfect teacher to have because her positive attitude will encourage you to keep trying. What did it mean to you that part of that came from a former student?
I think that was the best part because, you know, you're working with them, you know, 5 days a week, you know, for 9 months. And the fact that you could make an impression on their lives and actually touch their lives, I mean, that's what it's all about. That's why you come to school every day. Because you want to make a difference in their lives. And the fact that that child got, you know, went on for the next few grades and still remembered what we did in second grade, that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another story going back to when I was a reporter and I came and did a story, I think, about your lunch bunch a number of years ago. At the time, your students were raising money for a hedgehog. What, I guess first, why, I look around your room and I see a lot of hedgehogs. Why are there so many hedgehogs?
Well, it all started with an author, Jan Brett, and she has a lot of books with hedgehogs in it, and she has a pet hedgehog. So I told the students one day that I would really like to get a class pet, but it was too expensive. And they wanted to know what it was, and when I told them a hedgehog, they were so excited, and they said, we'll raise money. We'll, you know, we'll sell hot dogs. We'll sell popcorn. And it turned into this, again, another snowballed project that we sold lemonade on the playground. And we raised several $100s because the hedgehog cost $100 for just the animal. And then another $100 for the cage and another $100 for a cage for me to have at home. So it was quite pricey, but we raised the money on the playground and we purchased the hedgehog. And oh, what a wonderful learning experience. Just raising the money was a huge experience there, and they loved this hedgehog. So it was, yeah, it was pretty neat.
And then now you have that hedgehog passed away.
Yes.
And now you have a new hedgehog, and you got that in an interesting way also.
Yes. Cinnamony Crunch was the first one. And it was difficult when she passed away. Again, another learning experience. And Mrs. Cooper actually let us bury her in the backyard of the school. Then we got another one, but it was really cool. I called the woman who raises the hedgehogs, and she's up in Montpelier, almost at the Michigan border. Mm-hmm. And when she heard that my hedgehog had passed away, she remembered me and the class, and she said the price had gone up to $180. And she said, I will give it to you for free if you and your class write a story about hedgehogs so I can put it on my website. So the class was, okay, really excited. And we wrote this story, and then we turned it into a play for the end of the year project. And that was pretty cool. And all the children played different animals, and we had a hedgehog and a porcupine, and yeah, it was pretty cute. I think that was like 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for talking with me, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the third episode of the Newark City Schools podcast, and thank you to Savannah, Brian, Kathy, and Melissa for sharing your stories. If you have any questions about the show or topics you would like to know more about, please email me at sroy@laca.org. I'll be back next week with an interview with Walter Glischinski, who teaches students to run the Smiling with Hope Bakery at Newark High School. Have a great day. It's a great time to be a cat.